This morning, when I reached out to the Lord, He gave me a scripture that I needed to go back to, so I'm going to take you to Jeremiah chapter 18. Father, we need eyes to see, ears to hear, and a spirit to perceive what Your Spirit is speaking to us this day, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. As seemed best to? Say, God's got a plan.
God's got a plan.
And it's better than mine.
And it's better than mine.
He might see a few flaws.
He might see a few flaws.
Reshape me.
Reshape me.
As it seems best.
As it seems best.
To him. Not what seems comfortable to
me.
Did you notice the difference? Verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does? Meaning the house of prayer. Like clay in my hands, or like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel, O house of prayer. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation, I warned, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. So who does that leave in charge?
God.
Yeah. In case you forgot, He's Almighty. He's all-knowing. And you're not going to outmaneuver Him.
Amen.
Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. God's sovereign choice is the heading on the NIV. Just before verse 1. God's sovereign choice. I speak the truth in Christ, or I speak the truth in the anointed. I am not lying, my conscience confirms it is the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers. This is St. Paul crying out for the Jews, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs the divine glory, the covenant, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promise, or promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human history of Christ, or the Anointed One, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. So who is Christ? He's God over all. It is not as though God's word had failed. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Now, you better take a good look at that word, because there's so much controversy in this stupidity. If St. Paul, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, says not all that are Israel are of him, that means that you can have a title, but you're not walking in that title. You may have a mantle, but you may not be walking in that mantle, because you can refuse it. I can put a bicycle in a garage and tell it that it is a car, and it will not believe me. Christ, the Anointed One, can be inside of you and me, and we can declare ourselves to be aliens. Why? Because we think we have a better plan. Verse 7. Nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. So he's talking about those of natural birth. May not qualify. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. The name Isaac is laughter. And I remember the Holy Spirit, when he decided to manifest in this region in holy laughter, many Christians said, ah! Anybody have any memory of that? And if you ever get touched by holy laughter, that's Isaac. When it happens to you, you think you're going crazy. And God was delivering his saints. And I heard people in authority, men and women, standing in pulpits, criticizing the Holy Ghost. Did you hear me? Mercy triumphs over judgment. If you don't understand it, don't criticize it. You are not the end all. God is sovereign in his choices. If he wants to make you laugh until you vomit out the garbage that's been controlling you, let him do it. And I'm not teasing. I am telling you the truth. I saw at Grace Church of Christ people being delivered under holy laughter, and the anointed ones in that house laughed and mocked. And I wept. Am I the only one that wept? No. There were a few that wept with me. But I'm warning you, when God decides to do what he wants, let him. Don't think you're superior, because you will bite the bullet that is intended to destroy your flesh and bring your spirit to life. God was trying to bring a division between those that were believers and those that would trust him. And many, many failed. Verse 7 again. Nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the natural children that are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated. At the appointed time, I will return, and Sarah will have a son. I stress the fact that you should have a circle around at the appointed time. Concerning your life, concerning your loved ones. And if you're on the throne dictating how they should be delivered, I would suggest you give grace and you give favor and you give some mercy and get over your ideas. Verse 10. Not only that, but Rebekah's children had one and the same father, our father Isaac. Yet before the twins were born and had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, She was told the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. You say, God can hate somebody? Absolutely. Why? Because he's got a plan. He has a better plan than you and I. He may have an ultimate purpose that you could never conceive. And even those that he hated, he can turn around and reclaim anytime he so pleases. So don't condemn those that are walking in darkness for a season. Don't find fault with them because it's not your job. I should have heard an amen.
Amen.
All right. What then, verse 14, shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's desires or efforts, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. Take a break for a moment. How many of you have seen people come to the Lord and all of a sudden they can't focus on what you believe is right anymore?
Amen. Yes.
Who has hardened their hearts?
Yeah.
No. God has a purpose. See, I've seen people walk away from the Lord, hardened by God into a place of criticalness, and all of a sudden they're out there and they learn the lesson that God wanted them to learn, and in the byproduct others that are watching that individual say, well, you know what, there's hope for me, and they might end up being an evangelist and not you. They might give glory to God more than you. They could spread the news in the neighborhood while they're angry at God because the others will relate to it.
Amen.
How many like to have friends?
Amen.
Yeah, how many like to have others sticking to them for a season? It happens. I've seen people walk away from God. I've seen people spitting in anger. And all of a sudden, there's a wake-up call that comes. And they end up being the tool that God uses to bring many others to Christ. Pharaoh was angry. He was bitter. He wanted everything to be destroyed that even resembled God. But in the end, he recognized who really the real God was. And all these artificial gods and all these make-believe gods were what? Exposed for what they were. Yes or no?
Amen.
So the ultimate purpose of God is not to destroy anyone, but to bring all of his creation into salvation. 19. One of you will say to me, then why does God still blame me? For who resists his will? But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Come on. How many of you have ever had this conversation with God? Put your hand up if you've had this conversation. Thank you. It's because of his sovereignty. He knows what he's up to. Isn't that cool? If the potter has the clay, he sees something that needs to be adjusted, he has a right to what?
Adjust it.
Yes, and remold it. Verse 21, does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purpose and some for common use? So there goes your plan or mine, huh? See, this is a humbling truth. When I began to learn about this, I really was not happy, because my plans were being crushed. My plans were to bring comfort and healing to everybody I knew. But it wasn't God's plan. I had to line up with Him in order for the peace to come in. If God hardens somebody's heart, it's because He's got an ultimate purpose. It is a great purpose. It is an awesome purpose. 22. What if God, choosing to show His wrath and make His power known, bore with great patience the object of His wrath, prepared for destruction? What if He did this to make the riches of His glory known to the object of His mercy, whom He prepared in advance for glory? Whom He prepared in advance for? So He knows the end from the beginning. Can you choose to trust Him? See, because while you're watching somebody get crushed, you want to shake your fist and say, wait a minute. Come on, you guys got to be totally dead, because you should have heard an amen in there. Because I know how we all feel. I want somebody saved. I don't want them to be in pain. I don't want them to have a trial. I don't want them to have a hardship. And God says, get rejoicing when there is a hardship. Don't make sense. God's plan is to bring salvation to the whole earth. And He's got some strays out there that are doing bad things for His own plan and His own purpose. Verse 24. Even us, whom He also called, not only for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. As He says in Hosea, I will call them My people who are not My people. I will call her My loved ones who is not My loved one. And it will happen that in the very place where it was said to them, you are not My people, they will be called sons of the living God. His ultimate purpose is to bring sonship. His ultimate purpose, even out of those that are stubborn, even those that are broken and damaged, even those that are full of pride and whatever other garbage that's there, He'll take care of it in due season. And you and I need to just pour out mercy. Otherwise, you're going to pour out judgment. Because if you can't see the ultimate goal of the Father, you see, I didn't have that for a long time, and I didn't even ask for it. But at one point, the Holy Ghost gave me a good slap in the right place at the right time. And if it was the tushy that you imagined, you're right. He said, get your plan out of your head. My ultimate plan will save the whole house. Got it? Close your eyes. Say, God has a plan of salvation that's bigger than my plan. It is so much higher and so much greater that He will glorify Himself through the most broken, angry, bitter, resentful, prideful persons that I could ever imagine. So I'm going to pour out favor and mercy and let go of the judgment, because this is a new day. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I will not judge.
I will not
find fault.
I will not find fault.
Because it's a better and higher standard.
If I pour mercy
and favor
into those that broke me.
Or insulted me. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray.
I pray.